welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the make it up as you go along of free speech. That's what I do. I just make it up as I go along. Sometimes I can't think of anything. So go to republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the donate button. Send the badly needed fund. You can send it to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas 78664. You can phone it into 1-800-724-2719. Friendly operators are standing by. All right, so I've been doing this because I want to see if once and for all I can get my book done. And there's stuff going on in the news, but it's a lot of this stuff. You hear me talking about the stuff in Ukraine all the time. Russia, they're trying to do the stuff in Russia, the Gaza stuff. I'm just going to pull up real fast, and then I'm going to get into editing my book. Yeah, Press TV. Yemeni leader vows more effective strikes in solidarity with Gaza. That stuff is just still going on. I'm sure I'll be talking a lot about it next week with Mark and with Jeremy and with whomever else. Pull up RT real fast. Yeah. And right now I'm pulling up Real Clear Politics. The polls, I guess the polls are going a little bit more Donald Trump's way. The last one that was released that I saw, like, it had Donald Trump up nationally by 7 points. That's a Seltzer poll. I've never heard of the Seltzer poll. Reuters and Daily Kos actually have Biden up by 1 or 2 points. But, you know, some of these other polls have this one, the Seltzer poll from that was conducted last week, the 11th of March to the 17th of March, Trump up by 7 points. There was a Rasmussen poll from the 5th to the 7th of March that had him up by 8 points, but not all of them are like that. But at any rate, you know, that's the one thing is, Donald Trump was never up in the polls in 2020 or in 2016. He was never up in the polls. And there you go. So anyway, that's that. And RT, what's the top headlines on RT? Yeah, NATO's newest member eyes prolonged conflict with Russia. Why? Because it's good TV? I don't know. Here's why. Oh, West wants war with Russia, Dutch journalist RT, a lot of this stuff. Oh, the LGBT movement added to Russia's terrorist list. All right. Okay, well, anyway. Oh, here's an opinion piece in RT. Washington lives in denial over Putin's victory while gaming its own elections. Okay, good stuff. Whatever. So let's just move on. I was in the middle of my, excuse the noise, I was in the middle of my introduction to writing The Zombie Corpse. Let's just go on. It's obvious. It is obvious we live in tumultuous times, which is due to a combination of more and more people waking up to the reality of the reality that something is desperately wrong, and the Jewish-dominated elite responding by accelerating their efforts to cement their positions through censorship, repression, multiculturalism, etc. The Brexit vote, the Trump election, the yellow... This is how you can tell how long I've been writing this, okay? The Brexit vote, the Trump election, the yellow vests, protests in France, and the rise of nationalistic right-wing parties in Europe are evidence of the former. BLM riots, the rigged Biden election, cancel culture, and the insane coronavirus countermeasures are evidence of the latter. Okay, well, anyway. Don't have anything more recent. Maybe I'll put in not to mention foreign policy disasters. Not to mention foreign policy disasters like Ukraine and Gaza. Okay. Is that good enough? I don't know. I'm going to pause for a second while I consider that. All right, so I wound up writing. I don't know if this is good, but let my editor decide. Okay, even foreign policy disasters like Ukraine and Gaza could be looked at as Jewish overreach in the face of a deterioration in their operating environment. It seems absurd white Americans or white Europeans should be in a fight for their survival. We are the overwhelming majorities in the countries we live in. There's another example of how long I've been writing this, because the things have changed a lot in 7 years. We own most of the assets. We do most of the work. We possess most of the intellectual and managerial skills. We, over the past 5 centuries, created the modern world. And yet we have seen most white countries come under the domination of the descendants of 400 or so Ashkenazi families from 1,000 years ago, which I think I mentioned earlier. All right. The problem is we are under coordinated attack, and instead of fighting back, we are charging at windmills. Hold on a second. Okay, I was just making a note to myself that I should do a footnote for that 400 or so Ashkenazi families from 1,000 years ago. Get a footnote for where I got that information. Anyway, the problem is we are under a coordinated attack, and instead of fighting back, we are charging at windmills. Globalists, liberals, socialists, the Chinese, anything but actually mention Jews. In martial arts, there is the prevailing theory on defending yourself against multiple attackers is to take out the strongest one. It is so pathetic to hear Sidney Powell and Mike Lindell accuse Venezuela of hacking our elections, when in swing state after swing state, it was Jewish or Jewish-funded politicians who invoked the Jewish media-promoted coronapocalypse to change election laws and utilized Jewish-financed BLM intimidation to keep Trump election monitors out of the canvassing centers in largely black, Democrat, machine-run cities. Okay, yeah. I wish I had was able to get this stuff. You know, I could be writing small books every couple of years if I was able. Well, that's why I'm doing this. That's why I'm reading this now. That's why I'm doing this. Got to get it out. All right. The fact is, if we had an open discussion of Jewish power, so many of their power resources would be nullified. Take the news media, for instance. Nobody is forcing the Goyim to watch CNN or CBS. If there could be open discussion of how these and so many other news outlets are owned and or run by Jews and are pushing false narratives aimed at promoting Jewish agendas and harming whites in particular, their audience would dry up, and so would their power. Likewise, people don't have to invest their retirement funds with Jewish-run financial institutions. They don't have, well, actually, some of them don't really have a choice. If you work for, like, the public schools, and you're not the one making decisions, but I'm going to leave it like that still. Okay, because indirectly, you know, you might be able to have a word in it. All right. They don't have to post their daily activities on Jewish-run social media companies, that's for sure. They don't have to patronize Jewish-dominated firms. They don't have to patronize Jewish-dominated companies, let's just say companies, okay, they don't have to patronize Jewish-dominated companies that enforce critical race theory internally, contribute to BLM and other anti-white organizations, and portray America as a majority Negro nation in their advertisements. Okay. We could very easily take back our societies if we collectively decided to, all without violence or retribution. However, that collective decision is thwarted by the taboo on the discussion of Jewish power. All right, now this is, let's see. I recently, it wasn't that recent anymore, but whatever. I recently saw a debate hosted by Alex Jones on Israel between young Nick Fuentes and an attorney named Robert Barnes, who refuses to see anything wrong with Jewish group behavior. Barnes asked Fuentes point blank whether the United States would be safer if Israel were wiped off the map. Fuentes correctly objected to the premise of the question based on Israel's massive nuclear arsenal, but then, rather than backing down, said for the sake of argument that yes, indeed, the United States would be safer without Israel. Why should this be controversial? Okay, why should it be? Israel has a massive nuclear arsenal and a triad of delivery systems, including submarines, ICBMs, and a state-of-the-art Air Force. It has a military doctrine known as the Samson option, which states, should Israel be faced with destruction, I'm going to put in a that there. I know my editor doesn't like that, but I think it's better. Which states that should Israel be faced with destruction, it will lash out in all directions. Israel has the means of wiping out not just European and Middle Eastern cities, but those in America and China as well. So how does its existence with its nuclear arsenal and its Samson option make the United States safer? It deserves mention that states are from time to time destroyed. In the 20th century, the Ottoman Empire, Germany, Japan, Yugoslavia, and many other states collapsed. What would have happened if the USSR had a Samson option? So, it's not just for the survival and well-being of white Americans and Europeans that we need to overcome Jewish power. The entire world should be rooting for us. I once believed that the fate of world civilization, this is a recent modification to this paragraph. Anyway, I once believed that the fate of world civilization depended on Americans and Europeans overcoming their Jewish overlords, because the power resources created by thousands of years of white Western civilization, because the power resources created by thousands of years of white Western civilization that we have allowed. Okay. I once believed that the fate of the world. All right, let me just undo delete. Okay. Reject change. All right, so I'm going to read that one more time. And it reads, the entire world should be rooting for us. I once believed that the fate of world civilization depended on Americans and Europeans overcoming their Jewish overlords, because it is the power resources created by thousands of years of white Western civilization that we have allowed to come under Jewish control. All right. I still see Jews riding our zombie corpse to world domination, or at least world destruction. Let's see. I'm going to pause for a second. All right. So this is, I've changed it a bit. All right. So, the entire world should be rooting for us. I once believed that the fate of world civilization dependent on Americans and Europeans overcoming their Jewish overlords, because it is the power resources created by thousands of years of white Western civilization that we have allowed to come under Jewish control. Oh, wait a minute. Because that's why it is. Because the power... Okay, sorry. This is tough. This is why. Oh, I have to do this. I once believed that the fate of world civilization depended on Americans and Europeans overcoming their Jewish overlords because the power resources created by thousands of years of white Western civilization that we have allowed to come under Jewish control was being used to subjugate the planet. This is what I mean by Jews riding our zombie corpse. This is what I mean by Jews riding our zombie corpse to world domination, or at least world destruction. And so I felt the only way for us to survive was to throw it off. Okay. However, the war in Ukraine is now opening the way for the nexus of world civilization to shift from the Jewish-dominated West, in quotation marks, to a non-Western-led world centered around China and Russia, countries that are far less penetrated by Jewish power. Institutions, alliances, and trading networks being built by Russia and China are offering a substitute for the American-centered ones largely built in the aftermath of World War II and the Cold War, and could very well eclipse them, leading to a decline in the American-centered world that Jewish power derives its strength and resources from. Ideally, the West will free itself from Jewish power and participate in the new international system that is being created by Russia and China. However, the risk is that the more fanatic elements of the Jewish elite will drag the West into a world war to prevent the establishment of such a new international system, which would usher in a dramatically reduced Jewish power. And notice I say new international system and not new world order. There's a reason for that. All right. So, the events in and around Gaza since October 7th, 2023 may turn out to be a watershed event in world history. Israel's cavalier behavior has always depended on the unquestioning backing of the United States as a world hegemon, or at least the stronger of two superpowers. I believe that Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu, whose political career has taken place in the era of post-war American hegemony, has failed to understand the fundamental change that is occurring as a result of the rise of the Sino-Russian alliance and the decline of American power. Ironically, this decline in American power is mainly due to the Jewish undermining of the traditional white population and the exploitation of American power for Jewish interests that are at odds with building or maintaining American state power. Perhaps this explains why Netanyahu, and in parentheses, and Jews in general, have been slow to understand the decline of American power, as this would require some sort of recognition of their own role in undermining it. All right. And I tell you what, we are just about coming up on the break. So we will be back after the break with more of this. My thinking, and hopefully you'll all are finding it interesting. I got to get this out. It's Friday morning.
Make the world go away.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, Independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Listening to National Bugle Radio, that was Eddie Arnold. Which song was it? Probably it was Anytime. I can't, or maybe it's another song. I don't know. I'm not hearing the music. Back to the book, The Defeat of Ukraine and its U.S. NATO backers, U.S.-NATO backers, and its resulting dismemberment, along with a possible humiliation of Israel if an international peace conference dominated by China and Russia force it to give up the territory it conquered in 1967, would clarify for the world that the United States and its lackeys in the European Union are no longer leaders of the world. It would mark the defeat of the zombie corpse that the Jews have been trying to ride to world domination. With any luck or leadership, it could pave the way for a real discussion of Jewish power in the United States and other white countries, which would necessarily diminish Jewish power. All right, so that is the end of the introduction. Those last couple of paragraphs where I started talking about Ukraine and Israel, those were written on Thanksgiving, I think Thanksgiving Day, and I was in Chicago, and then Dr. Duke called me up and wound up, he said he wanted to record radio shows, so I walked down to State Street, that great street, to record shows, and then he never even used the shows. What's up with that anyway? I think I used the shows. I used the recordings. Okay, so here we go. Chapter 2. Wow, we're already in Chapter 2. Situation in America and the West today. Shouldn't that be the situation? Let's make it the. I'll put in the. All right. It's gotten to the point where most people know there is something terribly wrong in the United States and the West in general. And even if they don't know exactly what it is or how it got to be this way. Okay. Not and. Okay. It's gotten to the point where most people know there is something terribly wrong in the United States and the West today, even if they don't know exactly what it is or how it got to be this way. During 2020, we had the insane response to the coronavirus, the official endorsement of BLM riots, and the obviously rigged election. Subsequently, we have had the riot at the Capitol and the Russian invasion of Ukraine, both of which show clear evidence of the U.S. deep state, deep states in quotation marks, of the both of which show clear evidence of U.S. deep state engineering. While a significant portion of the population believes, and then in parentheses, or pretends to believe, whatever the media tells them to, well, actually, whatever the media tells them, certainly, a majority of the population would agree that at least, tells them to believe. Does it really matter if I say what the media tells them or what the media tells them to? It technically, like if you're translating into a different language, you'd have to translate them differently. They mean different things, but I guess either one of them applies. All right. Certainly a majority of the population would agree that at least one of the five aforementioned phenomena represents an outrage. Furthermore, it is not as if outrages stop there. We have ongoing replacement level immigration. We have been embroiled in senseless wars. Oh, you know something, though? I'm going to pause for a second and write a little addition to this. Okay, let's try this sentence out. And among the minority on the American political left, in quotation marks, that refuses to question these five phenomena. And we'll do this phenomena. All right. And among the minority on the American political left that refuses to question these five phenomena, many are outraged at American support for Israel's genocide in Gaza and are even starting to mention Jewish power. All right. It's not as if the outrage stops there. We have ongoing replacement-level immigration. We've been embroiled in senseless wars, and we are provoking Russia and China in a way that could lead to a civilization-ending world war. We went through the entire four-year term of Donald Trump, where he was abused in an unprecedented way by the media on a daily basis and effectively barred from exercising the powers of the presidency by a combination of activist judges, baseless investigations, and a subversive permanent bureaucracy. We are seeing the most blatant anti-white racism from the media, from the corporate world, and even from government. We are seeing the promotion of not just homosexuality, but now even transgenderism. People are waking up. But will they know how to take action before it is too late? Okay, we are coming up on the break. When we get back, the next section, replacement level immigration, white replacement.
Any time you're feeling lonely, any time you're feeling blue.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org, T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
You say you want me back again. That's the time I'll come back home to you.
All right, we are back. We are back. And I'm reading the book. Next section in this chapter 2, replacement level immigration, white replacement. Let's look at these problems one at a time. Short of nuclear war, probably the problem most likely to ensure the demise of white Christian America and transform the country into something very different and likely very unappealing is large-scale immigration. We have reached a point where about one-third of the people in the United States are of post-1965 origins. For a detailed account of the Immigration and Nationality Act of 1965, a.k.a. the Hart-Celler Act, refer to Kevin McDonald's Culture of Critique. In a nutshell, during the debate of this act, it should be the debate on this act, do that, on this act, Congress was assured the act would not increase overall immigration levels and would not disrupt the demographic status quo. In retrospect, it seems absurd congressmen could have believed such assurances, but U.S. Senator Eugene McCarthy, a co-sponsor of the bill, explained how he was tricked in his 1992 book, A Colony of the World, The United States Today. As McCarthy explains it, in the wake of the Kennedy assassination and in the midst of the civil rights movement, there was a feeling in Congress that the quota system put in place in the Immigration Act of 1924 that gave preferences to Northern and Western Europeans could no longer be defended. The Hart-Celler Act was promoted as a way of removing the racial preferences without fundamentally altering immigration levels or the demographics of the country. The main opposition came from Southern Democrats who were still trying to hold the line on segregation and were not as vulnerable to arguments invoking the civil rights movement. To assuage their concerns, I think that's a real word, the bill was reworked to base 75% of the immigration on family reunion. The logic was, if most of the immigrants already had family here, then the logic was if most of the immigrants already had family here, they would most likely be from the same European countries that had supplied the bulk of immigration before and since the 1924 Act. This was enough to convince most doubters, and the bill passed with 74% Democrat support and 85% Republican support. It didn't take long for things to fall apart. What McCarthy and others did not factor in... Hold on a second. Sorry, I was getting Skype messages from the network, from Mark Dankoff, from other places. It did not take long for things to fall apart. What McCarthy and others did not factor into their calculus was the role played by refugees. The mid-1970s saw a surge of Indochinese refugees from the lost Vietnam War. Before you knew it, you had refugees flooding in from other Cold War proxy wars in Central America and the Horn of Africa. These refugees eventually acquired green cards, official permanent residence cards, in parentheses, and the right to sponsor their extended families to come over based on the Family Reunification Clause. The Simpson-Mazzoli Act, known as the Immigration Reform and Control Act of 1986, gave amnesty to millions of people who entered the country illegally, and they also gained the right to sponsor relatives for chain migration. The next blow came with U.S. Senator Charles Chuck Schumer, with Chuck Schumer's 1990 visa lottery legislation. This allowed people from countries that heretofore had not sent many immigrants, then in parentheses, and thus did not have an anchor for chain migration, end of parentheses, to establish a foothold. A lottery winner from Bangladesh, Congo, or Uzbekistan could come over with his spouse and children, and before long he could be sponsoring his parents, siblings, in-laws, and the next thing you know they would be sponsoring and the next thing you know they would be sponsoring their relatives. All right. The family reunification feature of the Hart-Celler Act had the exact opposite effect of what had been promised. Instead of maintaining the ethnic status quo, it put third world immigrants from high fertility countries in the driver's seat for steering immigration policy. People from Japan or Luxembourg could also conceivably sponsor their qualifying relatives. But first of all, they come from low fertility countries and have far fewer qualifying relatives than third worlders. And secondly, whatever relatives they do have are likely perfectly happy in their home countries. This is not the case for refugees or most lottery participants. The fact is, someone from Kenya who won the diversity lottery probably has at least half a dozen siblings and potentially several dozen aunts, uncles, nieces, nephews, cousins, and in-laws whom he could sponsor. The family reunification emphasis in current law means that any amnesty for illegal immigrants is not just legalizing people who broke our laws to come here, but also making it possible for them to sponsor their relatives to come here in the future, and then those relatives can sponsor their relatives, and on and on. during the debate on the Dreamers is in quotation mark, there was an interview on one of the networks with a young woman who came to America as a child, quote, through no fault of her own, unquote. I don't remember where I saw this, but I saw it, and I'm including this without citation. When she was asked if there should be any restrictions placed on her in terms of her ability to sponsor her parents or grandparents, and then again in parentheses, presumably the very people who purposely broke our laws to bring her here through no fault of her own, unquote, parentheses, she said, of course not. She contended that once she is legalized, she should have the same rights as any other American. But the fact is, the typical white American probably doesn't even know the name of any relatives he might have in Europe because his ancestors came over generations ago. Came to the United States. Okay. Because his ancestors came here generations ago. These distant cousins would not qualify for family reunification anyway. So even a recently amnestied illegal alien or refugee has more say in American immigration policy than most native-born Americans. This is exactly the point Eugene McCarthy emphasized. All right, so that's the section on immigration. How about next section, black crime? All right, another devastating vector for attacking whites has been the whole racial injustice hoax. Over the past several years, we have been presented with a string of black petty criminals who died fighting with police or in similar undesirable circumstances. Trayvon Martin and Michael Brown became household names, and the deaths of several other black criminals spawned riots that destroyed entire sections of cities. The George Floyd event was particularly harmful, occurring in the midst of the first coronavirus lockdown. Society was already destabilized and vulnerable. It prompted a summer of violent riots throughout the country, with the active encouragement of the political, media, and corporate elite. Yet, as anyone who watched the Derek Chauvin trial could confirm, the actual events of that day were nothing like the portrayal in the media. Floyd had a long and violent criminal history, had been in and out of prison his entire adult life, was a long-term drug addict who was overdosing on a cocktail of fentanyl and metamorphine, had pre-existing conditions that made him vulnerable to sudden cardiac problems, and was violently resisting an arrest he knew would likely land him back in prison. The cops, on the other hand, had no reason to believe the tactics they were employing and had been trained in by the police department would result in Floyd's death, and in fact did not result in his death. And yet there was an orgy of violence and condemnation of institutional red white racism. Even as largely white anti-lockdown protests were being banned due to the risk of the deadly coronavirus, and the deadly coronavirus is in parentheses, blacks were allowed to riot without condemnation or fear of arrest. In fact, the riots were euphemistically called largely peaceful protests, in quotation marks, mostly peaceful protests, in quotation marks, or even just plain peaceful protests, in quotation marks. Even as people expressing skepticism about the wisdom of the coronavirus counter policies were kicked off social media platforms, even as people expressing skepticism about the wisdom of coronavirus counter policies were kicked off social media platforms and deprived of fundraising tools from credit card processors to GoFundMe and Patreon, BLM was gaining quasi-official status from the government and major corporations who are rushing in to flood its coffers with six- and seven-figure donations. On the anniversary of Floyd's death, U.S. embassies around the world were instructed to fly the BLM flag. You cannot get much more government-endorsed than that. But of course, it's all built on a lie. We are constantly told blacks are disproportionately shot by police compared to whites, which is technically true, but the fact is black criminal suspects are actually less likely to be shot by police than white suspects. The deceit here, and it truly is deceit because the people promoting it know what they are doing, is the intentional deletion of the words criminal suspects. Nobody assumes police just shoot random people. If they were supposed to shoot random people, then blacks being shot disproportionately to their share of the population would be an issue. So would men being shot disproportionately more than women, and young people more than old people. But police only shoot criminal suspects, and even then, only those who are attacking them, fleeing while armed, or otherwise posing an imminent risk to police and the public. The fact is that blacks commit far more violent crime than whites that makes them disproportionately likely to be shot, not because of racist cops. And mentioning this propensity for crime is one of the great taboos in American society, from which flows the whole edifice of mythology surrounding race relations in the United States. Segregation was first and foremost about protecting white neighborhoods and schools from black crime. Whites in the professional and managerial classes were never worried about competition from blacks. White laborers may have worried about competition from blacks, but white laborers were not the ones in charge. Besides, for more than 50 years, the official government policy has been forced integration. How did that sound? Hold on a second. Okay, I guess that was fine. Some may hail integration as a great success as they point to the blacks, albeit a small number, who have moved into predominantly white neighborhoods or white jobs. Some of these people have enjoyed economic or professional successes that would not have been possible before integration. In the old days, these people would have been largely restricted to professions or commercial ventures within the black community. They would have been teachers and preachers and shopkeepers. A smaller number would have been doctors or lawyers, but they would have been leaders in their communities and productive role models. With them gone, the black communities have been deprived of their natural leaders. The result has been skyrocketing crime and welfare dependency. Meanwhile, schools in white neighborhoods have suffered tremendously. Okay? Schools in white neighborhoods have suffered tremendously. Even where the neighborhoods themselves remain mostly white, black children from the leaderless nearby black neighborhoods are bussed in and typically prove themselves to be a disruptive presence, to say the least, especially in primary schools, where there is less separation of academically high-performing students from low-performing students. Teachers are faced with having to teach a class of great diversity in terms of academic capabilities. Bullying and behavior problems are rampant. In middle schools and high schools, there are problems of fights, theft, and sexual predation. Is predation a word? Or did I spell it wrong? Why is it like... Well, it's just not in here. Okay. Where these problems are across racial lines, it is disproportionately black on white. As for white neighborhoods, in many cases, black entry was largely restricted by rents and housing prices that were out of reach. However, wherever there was a significant, penetration of blacks into otherwise white neighborhoods, it produced a vicious cycle of whites leaving due to the prospect or actuality of black crime, subsequent lowering of housing costs, greater black entry, and increased white flight. Entire neighborhoods were transformed within a generation. Meanwhile, new white communities were created in the suburbs, increasingly distant from black city centers.
Well, in 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we met up with the British near the town of New Orleans. We fired our guns and the British...
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Health Simple with Colorado Shilji. Fact bit number one. What goes in must come out. Whatever we ingest, breathe in, or transfer by contact must be expelled. Expelled directly as burned calories, through perspiration, respiration, or expelled via urinary and gastric channels. Every element that is not properly used or removed by our bodies become toxins. And toxins, as we know, are causal to every disease and ailment. Toxins are what makes us subpar, unable to be at our best. Be your healthy best by cleansing your body of daily and deeply embedded toxins. Live stronger, and we hope live longer. Shilajit, legit Shilajit that is, like Colorado Shilajit, is perhaps the greatest homeopathic whole body remover of toxins made by Mother Earth.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new Ease-Off Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The Ease-Off lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the Ease-Off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease-Off?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease-Off LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Hounds couldn't catch 'em down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
All right, we are back, and I kind of rushed that last sentence in that paragraph. Entire neighborhoods were transformed within a generation. Meanwhile, new white communities were created in the suburbs, increasingly distant from the black cities. All right. Let's see where we are with this. Where are we going? All right, I'm going to read a little bit more and then we'll finish off the show. An important feature in all of this is that even for blacks who gain entry into white neighborhoods and work and workplaces and are accepted by whites, they still usually maintain high in-group preferences for other blacks and politically maintain a black identity, even if it conflicts with their economic interests as members of the middle or upper class. Nowhere is this more evident than among black millionaire athletes and artists. There are exceptions, but in general, blacks who succeed in white America rarely assimilate politically or socially, but rather become the tip of the spear for racial grievance. The anti-white agenda pushed by the Jewish-dominated elite does not restrict its recruitment to blacks. Propaganda is aimed in all directions. An entirely new census category, Hispanic, was created in 1970 as part of an effort to erode the demographic position of whites. Hispanic, as used by the U.S. Census and other government and non-government institutions, is not a race. Hispanics can be of any race. It was created as a new binary category that could include anyone of any race as long as they had any ancestry from Latin America or the Iberian Peninsula. It wound up grouping white Cubans with Mayan Indians from Guatemala and blacks from the Dominican Republic. The effect it had was to disincentivize whites, including people with some non-white admixture, from identifying as whites. Given the reality of affirmative action and similar preferences for non-whites, there were significant incentives for whites of Latin extraction to identify as Hispanic. Sometimes this might be done insincerely in order to gain a specific benefit. A blonde kid with a Scottish name but a Cuban great-grandmother may check the Hispanic box on a college application in order to get a leg up. But even in that case, they may be taking the spot of a better qualified white who doesn't have such a claim. While white Cubans and Venezuelans in Florida are notoriously conservative due to their anti-communist sentiments, Mexicans and Latin Americans who appear white are more likely to go along with a multicultural mass immigration anti-white agenda. Okay, Asians also provide an interesting case. They tend to be high achieving as students and high income as workers, often surpassing whites in both categories. Economically, their interests have been more aligned with whites as taxpayers rather than blacks as welfare recipients. They have not been punished by affirmative action to the extent non-Jewish whites have, but tend to be more aware of it and more willing to speak out against it. Furthermore, they are victimized by black and other minority crime, often because they are seen as softer and more vulnerable targets because of their propensity to carry cash and valuables. They are often smart enough to see through the media portrayal of this crime as being white supremacist. All right, we're out of time. I'll be back again next week with more exciting episodes of National People Radio.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.